Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.
Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Show today, three guests. We're going to talk some abortion again. We're going to talk with a local attorney. We're going to talk with Mike Lomas of the Financial Guys. Loaded show today.
But I think it's one of those shows where you're going to want to listen to the beginning to end because there's a baby formula shortage. There's a Supreme Court ruling. But right away, let's go to very prominent attorney Paul Cambria, who has actually argued before the Supreme Court.
And I guess, Paul, what does this say about the state of affairs in our country that some of the most sacred stuff we have just can't seem to, you know, stay safe in our courts, in our government? I mean, there's just leaks everywhere 24/7, it seems like, in our government. And it's really a shame. I mean, what does that say about the future of everything going on in our country?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess we'd really be concerned if the leaks, were about confidential safety information, the nuclear, where the button is for the nuclear weapons or whatever. But we see it all the time. You know, privacy is not like it used to be. Now we have a camera on every corner and everybody's doorbell and in cars and all the rest of it. So the expectation of privacy that an individual has is greatly reduced in this age of easy electronics, that's for sure. The other thing is that there's so many competing news channels that the competition for scoops, if you will, is much greater than it's ever been. And in some cases, we see people actually paying for information. There's so many opportunities and so much incentive now to have the scoop and to give it to someone so it can be reported.
But when it comes to the Supreme Court itself, again, you're someone who has vast legal experience actually arguing before the Supreme Court. When it comes to the people who actually have access to a document like that, would it be the Supreme Court justices themselves and their confidential clerks and that's it? Like, who normally would, to your knowledge, have access to, you know, an opinion like this prior to it being released?
Well, I have no idea who their employees are in the sense that, you know, if they have secretarial staff or whether everyone, you know, types their own thing. But again, you know, is there cleaning staff? Do they lock everything up before the person comes in every day to clean the chamber? I mean, we don't know that. We do know that things are going to change, obviously. But we don't know, because they're not about to tell us, what the state of affairs was before. Obviously, you know, the people think, oh, well, you know, it's some liberal somewhere who thought that maybe if they leak this, they'd do something for mankind. And they would put pressure on the judges and maybe they'd change their mind. I mean, that's a possibility. Could be somebody like that who has access to that information, who just felt that it was, you know, anathema to human rights and was going to do the right thing, especially in this area. Look at how many assassins we had of abortion doctors. This is a very emotional area.
What do you think, though? I mean, is this person, whoever leaked it, in big, big trouble? Or is there a potential for, it is what it is and it got out and who cares? I mean, what is the possibility of a big, big crime for this or penalty for this? Is that possible?
Well, it's possible. For example, they could say, well, this is larceny because documents are private and you stole them. So it turns out to be larceny. Then the question is, well, how much is it worth? Is it felony amount? Is it less than felony amount? It could be obstruction in the sense that you are, by doing this, obstructing the business of the court, obstructing governmental administration. It could be a so-called fraud on the United States. That one is a little bit more attenuated, but it's been tossed around as a possible statute that could be used. So I think that at minimum, if they were to find someone and it's an attorney, you know, that attorney would have a hard time keeping their license and certainly a hard time being employed somewhere. If it's a lay person, you know, then the issue is, what do they do? Well, they can fire them, obviously. Do they go farther and have them arrested? You know, it remains to be seen.
Well, that's we greatly, greatly appreciate your time on the Mike and Mihailu podcast. That is very prominent. Attorney Paul Cambra, and also too, from a personal perspective, want to thank you for what you do with the Variety Club and Children's Hospital. I know you and I have communicated that our son had a very serious illness, our son Emmy, when he was first born, and I'm thoroughly convinced that the folks at Kaleida and Children's saved his life. He's alive because of that. So on a personal note, Paul, thank you for all you do with that as well, and certainly for your legal insights too.
Well, the people at Kaleida are the ones to be thanked. They're the ones who have to deal with day in and day out trauma, sadness, happiness, lots of different emotions going on there. And those people are as dedicated as they get. And we're so proud to be able to help them financially through the Variety Club, which, of course, you know, has been having telethons in our community for 60 years. 61st year will be coming up.
Well, greatly appreciate what you do for them. Again, Attorney Paul Cambry, thank you so much for your insight. Greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. And you know, the when it comes to fanning the flames of this issue, we're going to hear very shortly from the soon-to-be former White House communications press spokeswoman for President Joe Biden, because when it comes to the issue of the leak of this ruling, it is getting just out of control when it comes to literally pouring gasoline on the fire of this debate. And so the White House was asked, okay, what about the position of these protesters who are not happy with the ruling going to the homes of Supreme Court justices? And let's hear literally right now what the White House's first response was.
Not about the yesterday, though, just about moving forward. These activists posted a map with the home addresses of the Supreme Court justices. Is that the kind of thing this president wants to help your side make their point?
Look, I think the president's view is that there's a lot of passion, a lot of fear, a lot of sadness from many, many people across this country about what they saw in that leaked document. We obviously want people's privacy to be respected. We want people to protest peacefully if they want to protest. That is certainly what the president's view would be.
So he doesn't care if they're protesting outside the Supreme Court or outside someone's private residence.
I don't have an official U.S. government position on where people protest.
Unreal, really. I mean, it's unbelievable what those folks allow and what's okay to them, and then not allow and what's not okay to them.
Well, and here's the thing, the White House off the bat, and we're going to hear from Senator Charles Schumer next, because the White House did not douse the argument. They doubled down. They says, hey, if you want to protest, go and protest. Well, Charles Schumer just went full throttle and said, you know what? The Supreme Court is fair game. Let's take a listen to Charles Schumer.
I want to tell you, Gorsuch, I want to tell you, Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
And I'll tell you, I saw this on Twitter yesterday, and it really hit home. Somebody actually tweeted at me, I should say. And it really, they're like, well, you guys were all okay with January 6th. Well, first off, I wasn't. Let's start with that. I was not okay with breaching the Capitol. I would never be okay with that. That does not make sense to me why you would be there. I wouldn't have been caught 1,000 miles away from that place. But number two, why was that such a disaster and such a problem to so many people? Yet, let's just go outside a Supreme Court justice house. Let's break into Portland's police precincts. Let's burn down stores and McDonald's and steal the, like, why is January 6th this like the worst day since Pearl Harbor, 9/11, but all these other events are just A-okay in their book?
And sure enough, what was the end result? We're going to hear it. There were protesters outside of the homes of Supreme Court justices.
Very nice. Very nice, folks.
I mean, but it gets worse, though, because when it comes to doubling down on the issue of abortion, the next clip is going to be when it comes to a woman talking about foster care. And the argument of the left, it's always the same of, well, wait a minute. If if you're forcing a woman to have a baby, what are you doing to take care of that child? Let's listen to the logic of the left.
It talks about how, these children that people are going to be forced to give birth to will just help with all these people who can't have children and who want to adopt. And my question is, where are they now?
They are right here. They're here doing the job. And actually, some of the very important people, there's two women we're bringing up right now who actually do this job. They are Sue Sherman and Mona from All Babies Cherished Ministries. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us on Mike and Mihailu. We greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi.
So Mona and Sue, we hear that all the time. And again, as a Catholic, I know there's the Gianna Mala Center in Buffalo where, yes, if there's a woman who's thinking about either having an abortion, they'll say, wait a minute, please, you do have support. Or after a woman gives birth, they're there for them when it comes to formula, diapers, clothing. So All Babies Cherished Ministries, what you ladies do is just incredible when it comes to supporting children after birth. And isn't what you do basically defying that liberal logic of, well, wait a minute, someone's got to take care of that baby. You take care of it.
Every day.
Yes.
Every day.
And it is it that folks do when it comes to women and having their babies and encouraging them that life is important, life matters, and that you're supported?
I missed the first part of what you said.
Yeah. So basically, just talk us through what you do when it comes to women who give birth and say, you know what? Life is important. Life is precious. You have support. And we're going to walk you through the journey of having this baby live and not die.
Oh, absolutely. And we're here. We have gals that come through these doors every day that are confused, that are afraid, that don't know, that don't of hope. And, you know, first and foremost, we're actually here because we tell them the message of Jesus. We tell them what Christ did for them and that they're not alone, that we're always going to be here to help them on this journey. We offer parenting classes that will help them during their pregnancy, through the childbirth process, and then through infancy, toddler stages, and into those lovely teen years that we all have gone through. So, you know, we're here to help them along the journey. And yes, they're able to get all of the material needs that they need for raising this child through us and through the wonderful donors that we have.
And I will say, I think that that's amazing because what you just said, they're helping them through pregnancy, helping them through infancy, helping them through their childhood. It's amazing how many people are soon to be parents that don't have any clue about all that stuff. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you come from, right? And I think that's super important to help educate young people, middle-aged people, whatever it may be, on what it is to be a parent and what is needed and the struggles that you're going to have, because it's not easy.
No, it's not easy. And we don't, everything is free. Nothing is based on income here at All Babies Cherish. Anybody who walks through the door is treated exactly the same. We see women, we see guys, we see grandparents that have taken on the responsibility of their grandchildren. We help remove the fears that they have. Whatever they've gone through, we help just relieve those fears that they can do this. We walk through, whether it's weeks with them, years with them. Some of their clients we have seen over 5 years or more. And we help see them through multiple births sometimes. Whether it's addiction, whatever it may be, we help them realize that there is more. We help them set goals. We help them get back into college, whatever it may be that they want to do with their life, that they can do it and they can succeed being a mom, succeed being in life with a child. The lies that they have been told are lies. Mm-hmm. And we help remove those fears and give them love. Help them realize that maybe they didn't have love from other people, but they're going to get love when they come through these doors and walk through life together in this journey with them.
And Sue and Mona, I want to go back to the actual draft of an opinion from the Supreme Court that was leaked that appears to overturn Roe versus Wade. From a pro-life perspective, both Sue and Mona, what were your reactions when you heard that it appears as though Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned?
It's actually exciting news. I mean, we've felt the travesty in this nation of aborting 62 million plus children since that was enacted in 1973. And it's really time to reverse that.
Absolutely. And women need to know, though, that they never need to go that route, whether it's legal or illegal.
Yeah, we're losing your audio feed and it appears as though you've frozen. So are you ladies still there? Sue and Mona from All Babies Cherish Ministries?
Do you want to, while we wait for them, do you want to go to Mike Lomas? Because he's live on the line as well.
Yeah, I do want to go to Mike and we'll come back to Sue and Mona if that's okay. I think we lost their internet connection because we do want to talk about, even from a personal perspective, that we are going through a baby formula shortage in our home. It is absolutely brutal. We have a 2-month-old almost who has a very special formula that we have to buy. But it's not just that. It's formula for any baby that cannot be found on any shelf.
Yeah, and it's pretty darn scary because, you know, and I said this to my wife yesterday, this is just yet another shortage of something important in our life, right? Gas through the roof. You know, they've talked about food shortages coming up soon. Forget baby formula. How about, you know, adult food shortages coming up? Gas is through the roof. You know, who knows what happens with the Ukraine-Russia situation with natural gas? This is just another thing, right? Another thing that this administration just does not have under control. And not to blame everything on them, but this stuff didn't happen 3, 4, 5 years ago, did it?
It did not. And for answers on why this is happening, we have Mike Lomas on the line from the Financial Guys. Mike, how are you?
I'm wonderful. So, I've got the answers.
Yeah. We'll lay it out for us. What is going on? What's the problem?
Well, you know, to Mike, to your point, you know, we can't just say it's all Biden, right? I mean, this is bottlenecked in different parts of the world. And what most people don't understand is this is a network. You know, it's a supply network. You hear chain, but, you know, use an automobile. I mean, an automobile is not, we're not making the parts in one country and assembling the car. And, you know, there's multiple touching points in multiple countries. Oftentimes products have 6-7 touching points before it ends up in your house. But I would say, to go back to the beginning of this, and, you know, how did America help or hurt this crisis? And you've got the Biden administration. And, you know, I think people forget really quickly that we had boats sitting up, you know, backed up in California, right, and in New York, and say, well, you know, well, how do they contribute to that? Well, you know, we had the Biden administration paying people to stay at home, right, and of course they continued to pay people to stay at home. And then, you know, using California as an example, with San Francisco and LA, we have very lax, any abiding by laws, right? So now I'm a criminal. It's way more cost effective for me and way more profitable for me to rob the boat. So I can sit at home, collect welfare. We can extend that, and then I can rob the boat. And in places like San Francisco, as long as I'm stealing less than $900, hey, no, all good, right? And go and steal $899 a day and not have an issue with it and come back the next day. Why in the world would I take a job unloading the boat when I can make more profit stealing the boats? And so, you know, we contributed to this mess. And then, of course, the other side of that is, all right, we'll make the stuff here. And under Donald Trump, when he cut corporate taxes and cut regulations, we brought something like 700,000 manufacturing jobs back to this country. And, you know, that all stopped under Biden. Of course, he comes in and he says, you know what? I think it's a great idea to go back to high corporate taxes and high regulations. And these companies said, well, that's wonderful, but we're not going to continue to move our staff and our supply chains over to America. We'll wait until days get better. And so, you know, at this point, you know, people forget we're 2 years into COVID, right? We're going on 3 years into the 2 weeks to flatten the curve. If we had good leadership in America, most of that product would be made here at this point, and we would be continuing to ramp up production. We'd be continuing to deregulate stuff and continuing to lower corporate taxes to give people more and more incentives to make those products right here. And on top of it, we've got 59 million people in this country on welfare. Does that blow your mind? We can't find anybody to drive a truck. We can't find anybody to unload boxes. We've got 59 million people in welfare. And that's a heck of a lot of people that could be out there helping to work and get the supply chain rolling. And it's sad that, unfortunately, out of the Biden administration, you hear the opposite, which is, yeah, it's not your fault. It's the government's fault. Just sit around and wait for somebody else to help you out.
Well, and Mike, I was just going to say, I mean, you and Glenn nailed it from the beginning of COVID every week on Saturday from 1 to 3, right? This is going to have an impact at some point. Everybody, it's going to have an impact at some point. And here we are now 2 years later, and it's finally, not that it didn't crush businesses before, because of course it did, but now it's crushing supply and demand to a maximum.
Yeah. The fixing and the treatment of COVID was way worse than the COVID itself. And we said that from day one. Just a simple contraction in the U.S. economy. So we contracted at 1.4% last quarter. Studies show that for every 1% contraction in U.S. GDP, about 7 million people starve globally. So we did all this stuff to try to save mom and dad. Oh, yeah, we didn't actually do that, because the only people that we really, really should have been very protective of were the people in the nursing homes. And we just shoved positive COVID patients back in those nursing homes. But everybody else should have been out, and the economy should have been rolling. You never, ever, ever shut your economy down. I don't care if a nuclear bomb takes out 6 states. You do not shut your economic engine down. And that's what we did. And so it's a mess. And unfortunately, the U.S. is not doing pro-growth things to try to help. You know, if they're one of 6 in that link, in that supply chain network, we're not doing our part to try to speed things up. We're certainly doing our part to make it worse.
Well, you mentioned starving. My baby's starving, or is going to be, if I don't find baby formula soon. Because, for us, we are parents that have means to some way, somehow find baby formula. I mean, this is serious. And we could order online if it's available. My wife and I can drive. I mean, I think of my mom, who raised 7 kids. She had to take buses everywhere. She could not physically go all over the way we do to find baby formula. Yeah. So even if a mom can get to a store, there's no guarantee it's going to be there. And we keep hearing from people on the left, Mike, that, oh, wait a minute, it's got nothing to do with supply chain. It's got nothing to do with Biden. This is all because of a recall. And I think it's total BS that they're not paying truckers. There isn't enough money in this economy to go around. That it's an exact problem that points right back to the Biden administration, does it not?
Oh, absolutely. 59 million people on welfare. Do you think a few of them might be able to drive a truck? I do. You know, maybe not all 59 million. How many do we need to drive a truck to open this economy up? Is it 300,000? Is it 400,000? 59 million people sitting around waiting for free handouts, and we can't find anybody to drive a truck. It is BS. And we need to take very, very proactive. Look at states that have done it. You can compare state by state. So if you want to look at a state like Florida, right, as an example, who said, we're sending the welfare back. Remember the $900 a week that everybody was entitled to? Florida said, nope, we're sending that back. We don't need it. Well, guess what? Supply chain issues between Florida and New York, night and day. Go to a restaurant in Florida and see if you can get service. You have very few help wanted signs. And it's not that they don't need help. They need help because they're growing there, right? More and more people to sell stuff to. Just the opposite of New York, that's shrinking and still begging people to come to work. Absolutely, they could have done that, including, by the way, lowering corporate taxes, giving them the ability to have more cash to be able to spend more. To your point, you know, do we have some people who are philosophy majors who might be enticed to drive a truck for a little bit and make, you know, 80 grand as opposed to 20? You know, I'll tell you what, we got a better chance that these corporations have more money in their pocket to be able to do that.
And Stefan, the pictures you sent me this morning when we decided we were going to talk about this today, I mean, you hear the story that, oh, the shelves are empty. The shelves are literally empty today.
I took those photos.
They were literally empty.
I took those photos. I mean, it reminded me of, like, again, my Dida, my Baba, my grandparents who lived under a communist regime, about going to stores in these third world countries and having bare shelves. Yep. But that was at stores on Niagara Falls Boulevard. Right. And on Southwestern.
The
shame of it is, guys, we're a few years into this cycle, and we could have at this point been ramping up the manufacturing a lot of that stuff, right? If Biden had just stuck with the Trump tax cuts and shut his mouth on his massive amounts of regulation and his redistributing wealth, many of those jobs would have, and many of those companies would have continued to progress their operations over to the U.S. Instead, they did just the opposite. And now we're waiting around and dependent on other countries to build this stuff. You know, when I was in college, we spent a lot of time studying just-in-time inventory models. You know, just-in-time. Well, you know, a lot of that stuff's going by the wayside. But if we can't produce it here, if we can't make it here, then it's all for naught.
Mike, real quick question before we let you go, unless Stefan has another one too. But I asked this to Peter Nielsen this week on the radio show, and I'll ask you the same question. I mean, is this like a 6 to 12 month problem, or are we in like a 2 to 3 year problem, or are we in like a, oh boy, you're in a 5-10 year problem right now?
Yeah, my wife wants to know.
I think it could be a longer issue, but here's the thing. You know, we got to be careful about it. And I manage money for a living. So, you know, I always say you've got to be very careful about how the stock market reacts in relationship to the economy itself. You know, in the long term, they'll sort of pair themselves up over 10 and 20 year periods. But, you know, what's happening now? Well, you need baby formula. Okay, well, I have it, but I'm not going to sell it to you for $2 anymore. I'm going to sell it to you for $4, right? And so profit margins are getting bigger and bigger. That being said, there's less competition out there, right? I mean, hey, I can't ramp up my manufacturing because I can't find anybody to hire. So the companies that are out there are at some point going to look extremely attractive price or, you know, relative to earnings. And you could see a stock market that's going up with an economy that's still crappy, if that makes sense, because the companies that are out there have pricing power and are taking advantage of that.
Unbelievable. So, unbelievable.
Real careful. And well, ultimately, what does that do, right? Well, ultimately, it makes the rich richer and the poor poorer, right? If I have, if my client has $2 million in the stock and bond market and that goes up, but the poor can't afford Similac anymore. But think about this, the $2 million goes up 10%, that's $200,000. At the end of the day, are they struggling to pay Similac? No. It's the people that they profess to help every single time that get crushed. And this will happen again. Every single time you have big government involved. And I always use California as an example because they've been a great example of this. What's happened in California over the last 30 years as taxes have gone up, regulations have gone up, and Big Brother has gotten bigger? Well, guess what? The rich have gotten richer. There's a lot of people in California that have made millions and billions and billions of dollars. And guess what? There's a lot more poor people there because now 17% of the population is homeless because they can't afford to rent an apartment. So, you know, that's what we got to look forward to here. Although I'm an optimistic person, I think you're going to see the midterm swing. I think you're going to see them swing in a huge way. I mean, we're even talking about places like New York that may be swinging. And I'm optimistic that we can fix some of this stuff and go back to free market capitalism as a solution, which is exactly what needs to happen.
God bless America. Mike Lomas, financial guys. Thank you so much for joining us. We greatly appreciate you. We greatly appreciate you making an appearance on the Mike and Mihailu podcast.
God, man, you guys are awesome. Love it, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Buddy.
I see ya.
Well, and speaking of formula, we do have back. It is Sue Sherman and Mona from All Babies Cherished Ministries. Again, that's Sue Sherman and Mona from All Babies Cherished Ministries. I actually found them on Facebook because there's a lot of moms groups. Yes, I was on moms groups looking for formula. And so Sue and Mona, All Babies Cherished Ministries, can you talk about the fact that you actually made a Facebook post today putting a call out for baby formula to help mothers?
Well, we did. And we are part of the moms group in this local area, specifically to help the gals who are not even regular clients here, who have a need for formula, because we do get donations of formula. But we're going through that very quickly. So yes, we did put a post out asking for those who no longer need it. If they've still got a supply that has not been opened, please bring it here. We'll find a rightful home for it quickly.
Because I got to tell you, I was somewhat embarrassed. I mean, being a grown man, joining some of these moms groups, I didn't want people to kind of get the wrong impression. Like, what is this guy doing? But I mean, I have four kids.
I get it.
Yeah.
I have four kids, and we have to do everything possible to be able to find things like that. So how does it help, again, moms that you serve in order to find things like formula for them after they actually give birth and need that kind of support, whether it's formula, diapers, clothing, things like that nature, when it comes to your ministry, All Babies Cherish Ministries?
Well, you just hit the nail on the head when you said ministry, because basically what we find, and you may think we're crazy for saying this, but it is true. When there's a need, God brings it through the doors here.
He does. Yeah.
That is the truth. So he puts it on the hearts of people in the area to donate. And when we have a need, it's met. I mean, to give you an example, we've got some moms who desperately need amino-based formulas. Those are the most difficult ones to find. My daughter, who's a third-year med student, couldn't even find any in the area of Virginia in which she lives to be able to ship to us. But we were here, Mona was actually here on a Saturday when we're not normally open, and a lady walked through the door with two cases of Neocate Cineo formula.
Yes.
It's like gold. You can't find it anywhere, but a walkthrough.
I will say, I not to put Buffalo on a pedestal, because we all love Buffalo, but it really is a city with great people, and you know, the suburbs with great people. It really is. People take care of each other, and you know, it's pretty sad though. That's where we're at, right? Where we're just hoping that somebody has something that we can find, because, like Stefan said this morning, he couldn't find one thing. I mean, did you end up finding any?
No, I went to Facebook and I saw that there were multiple moms groups that were saying, and you mentioned the City of Good Neighbors saying, hey, if you're looking for it, I have a few extra cans, let's help. And so I guess, you know, that's a great way that social media is helping, but I still find it mind-boggling that we're even in this scenario that we're going that far to find something that a baby needs.
Yep.
Right.
So Mona and Sue, I want to go back now to talk about the leak of the supposed ruling when it comes to Roe versus Wade and the Supreme Court, and as it pertains to your ministry. Again, because a lot of individuals on the left-hand side of the political spectrum, they talk about the fact that, okay, who's going to care for that baby? Who's going to care for that baby? Well, from my perspective, it's the people who are responsible, number one, for engaging in an act that makes a baby, number one.
And it's not rocket science. We all know how kids are made. I think we all figured that out.
But that being said, I think it's such a horrible false narrative that the left comes in with. And Sue and Mona, I want you to address this, where they say, well, all you people care about is making sure that woman has that baby, and then no one cares for that child after. In your ministry and many others, don't you basically prove that false premise so very wrong with what you do on a daily basis?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, we could approach from what you just said by so many different angles. Just the gals that come through these doors that have chosen to keep their babies, and uncertain when they do, they find such a delight in raising this child, even if they don't have much. Mm-hmm. We're there to help with the material needs. There's nothing more precious than being a mom or a dad. True. It's the best thing you can ever do.
Mm-hmm. We honestly, we have had moms come in and they are unsure, and we can place them, maybe they want to put the child up for adoption, maybe they decide to keep it. We will help them go through and sort out questions that they have. But when they come here and they're, we can say, yep, we can help you with the material needs. We'll help you find a place to live. You know, we'll walk them through whatever it means. We'll advocate for them. And we give them everything they need for that child the first year. With a car seat, they get a brand new crib. We don't even give them a used crib. They get a brand new crib. And they're set to go. And then they keep returning. So we've even been blessed. Our ministry has been, it's been given a home because we've seen that that has been just a vision that we've had, that there's such a need for women. There's a homeless issue, and our ministry has been given a home. So the home has been purchased. It's local, and we will be getting that operated soon. So we'll be able to help women even further, because we know that there's a need. And so we can just continuously combat what the enemy chooses to throw at these women. It's even part of my testimony. I've been there. So it's we just have to give them the truth, and we have to get the truth out there to them. If they don't know that things are available to them, they won't know, and they'll choose what's out there and what they heard.
Okay, that's Sue Sherman and Mona Doyen from All Babies Cherished Ministries. And folks, where can they find you if they're interested in your ministry? If there's a mom that says, you know what, I'm thinking of still keeping my baby, I need some help, where could people find you?
We are located in Batavia at 445 Ellicott Street, Batavia, New York. Our phone is 585-344-5660. And Facebook.
We're okay.
We got a
wonderful
lot of to us that way.
Absolutely.
All right. Sue and Mona, thank you both. God bless you for what you do.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care.
Have a great day. Thanks.
I'm fired up now.
I'll tell you.
So mad and angry on so many different levels, Mike.
I'll tell you, and I'm going to go back to what Loma said too, because it is so interesting to me every time I think about this and talk about it further. The party that promises equality and equity and all this crap, they create disparity every friggin' day. It's unbelievable. And you look at this, and you use the example with your family, and thank God you have a good job. Thank God you have a great wife that can help you with the kids and you can help her with the kids. If you don't have that and you don't have $20 to your name, you can't drive to Rochester. You can't drive to Erie, PA, whatever you got to do to get the formula. And that's the problem. And then we wonder why, oh, well, no wonder why that kid can't eat at night or can't, you know, it's common sense.
Well, it's the policies of Joe Biden and a majority of Democrats.
Kathy Hochul, yeah.
Democrats control all of New York State politics. Democrats control all of our national politics. Inflation is a stealth tax that hurts the poor and the lower middle class the worst.
Yep.
It is a stealth tax. They are the ones who are suffering most because of Democratic rule in Washington and New York State. Yep. It's the poor. And yeah, as Mike Loma said it perfectly, the rich are getting richer. But guess what? The poor are struggling. And you know what? Again, I had a dear friend who used to run Buffalo Public Schools. God bless his soul, Dr. James Williams. And he called those individuals, whether it's politicians yep. or groups, that basically preyed on the poor. And they made money off their contracts. They made money off the poor. He called them poverty pimps.
Yep.
And we have poverty pimps all over Washington, D.C., New York State, and in the People's Republic of California and all these woke communities, because they are preying on the poor. Their policies hurt the poor and they don't give a damn about them.
Yeah. And I think this baby formula thing that makes it worse, it was just, okay, gas is $4.50 a gallon, right? I put $150 in my gas tank over the last 10 days. It's insanity. That's a problem in itself. But now it's not the price of things anymore. Milk going up, eggs going up. Now it's things are just missing. You can't get them.
Like baby formula. Yeah,
exactly.
What the hell kind of country are we running here?
I know. And what's next, right? They're saying food shortages. What does that mean?
But you're talking about feeding babies.
I get it.
Yep. Okay, let's go through the worst case scenario, Mike. Worst case scenario, there's a gas shortage. And for whatever reason, we just don't have access to gasoline, whether it was $4 a gallon or $1 billion a gallon.
Yep.
You can survive. You can take the bus. You can bike. For the most part, as long as you get to the grocery store, you're okay.
Right.
If there is a baby formula shortage and children cannot eat, we're talking newborns who cannot eat. That goes way beyond any kind of an economic crisis where this country has gone to hell in a handbasket under Joe Biden, that you can't feed babies anymore.
Yeah. And again, not to keep saying it, but what's scary is they're calling food shortages next. So we're going to have baby formula shortages. And now we may have food shortages. Then what do?
You can't afford the gas for your car to go to the grocery store anyway.
Yeah.
And if you do get there, you're not going to have food on the shelves or baby formula to buy.
you know, and I think when we wrap this up, this is just yet another thing now of this administration. And like I said in the beginning, and Mike, you know, said it too, it's not all one party's, when I say one party, Joe Biden only, right? There's a lot of factors here that are causing this, but this is yet another thing during this administration. You have Afghanistan, you have now the Russia-Ukraine situation, you have our southern border being a disaster, you have supply and demand issues, you have, you know, that's, this is a supply and demand issue, but you have baby formula missing in action. I mean, what's next? You have Supreme Court leaks, two of them, one to say one's going to retire, another one to show an opinion. I mean, what is next in this administration?
But even going back to the Supreme Court too, because that really angers me, the fact that now pro-choice protesters are targeting Catholic churches, mm-hmm. they're targeting masses, they're targeting houses of worship, and they have no shame whatsoever but to go to the houses of Supreme Court justices to protest outside their house in order to get them to sway their opinion on this abortion ruling pertaining to Roe versus Wade. It's sick and it's repulsive.
And I know you've seen the videos, of course, but some of these videos at these rallies, and it's not even outside the Supreme Court houses or the Supreme Court justice homes or the churches, but they're literally excited to yell about abortion. And whether you agree with it or not, it's not an activity like the Super Bowl when your team scores a touchdown, right? It's, again, if you believe in abortion or you don't, it doesn't matter here. You should not be championing it. I sound like Joe Biden right now. And you shouldn't be like, yeah, this is great. Yeah, let's yell about it, let's scream about it. If these people got that excited to go to work or to do something productive for society, we'd probably be a much better place.
But it's beyond sick, because at the very beginning of this so-called crisis, when it comes to the leak of this opinion, the White House could have stopped it immediately mm-hmm. when asked by that reporter from Fox News to say, what do you think of this? Mm-hmm. People putting out the homes of Supreme Court justices and saying, hey, let's go protest there. And what did the White House spokeswoman say? Nothing. Didn't discourage it, but just said, hey, the president feels as though we should have an open, honest discourse and people are passionate and angry. You know, Chuck Schumer just threw gasoline on the fire and named justices by name mm-hmm. and said, we're coming after you. Mm-hmm. That's the country that we live in.
But imagine if it was the opposite for a second.
It's unbelievably hypocritical.
Imagine if Donald Trump came to a podium and said, yes, we do need to go after Chuck Schumer. Yes, we do need to go after Nancy Pelosi. Yes, Kathy Hochul, you name it.
They'd imagine be melting if, down.
It would be the biggest investigation in the history of the world. I mean, look at January 6th. And again, I don't condone it. I disagree wholeheartedly with everybody that was there. And I believe that Trump should have came out sooner and said, wait a minute, stop. Right. But at the end of the day, one person died, happened to be a conservative. Really, if you look at the videos, the actual video of those people in the friggin' Capitol building, it was like a picnic. They're walking around, they're joking. Like, and again, not condoning it because it was a bad act, but it was as if people were going in there. Look, I mean, you know what happened with AOC, right? She cried and said she felt like for her life, she wasn't even in the damn building.
And here's the thing too. There is a difference between a public building, a place of government, and someone's house.
Yes.
I mean, the left is so insane and crazy. They're doing the same thing at Chuck Schumer's house.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand their logic, which is why I always say that liberalism, for the most part, is a mental illness.
Yep.
That this country has gone to hell in a handbasket so quickly since Joe Biden became president. Food shortages, gas prices going through the roof. No one can find baby formula. And there is such a cultural and political divide that we absolutely need checks and balances in November for the midterms, that we need Republicans to take over the House and the Senate so there is some semblance of sanity in our government.
And the last thing before we wrap, because I got to just mention it quickly, we can talk about this again next week, but the Dinesh D'Souza documentary.
Oh, 2,000 Mules, is that the one?
Yeah. Did you see any of the clips of that?
I did. I saw the clips, but I couldn't get on the premiere night, which I think it was Saturday. It was so jammed. Whether it was the server or it was a full house, I just could not see the movie.
You know, and I didn't watch the movie either, but I saw some of these clips. And I mean, you can't make this stuff up. And the left acting like nothing was wrong there. Some of those clips of people grabbing things and putting things extra, like, it just, to me, it's like, how did we get here?
How do we get here where you can't just go vote the normal way? And if you can't get to vote, you know, again, I think there has to be a legitimate reason. You can't listen. Everybody in the world can get up and do anything that they want if it's fun for them. But on election day, they can't get off the couch and go vote.
Well, that's why it should be voting in person. Number one. So it's the issue of ballot harvesting, where this is how Democrats try to legally steal elections. You know, in theory, ballot harvesting is supposed to say, well, there's numerous people who are incapacitated. They can't get to the polling place. So we're going to make it legal for one person to collect votes and it's going to be okay. It's all in the up and up. They're going to sign affidavits, things like that. But that never happens. It's basically a legal way for the left to steal elections. Well, they'll literally stuff ballot boxes. And that's what's in that movie, 2000 Mules.
And what's frustrating about it, again, is so many of these people, I'm sure they go out to the bar. I'm sure they go to the supermarket. And I'm a big believer, honestly, Election Day should be a national holiday. And then there is no excuse that you can't vote, or make it, you know, I'm just making an example, a Monday and a Tuesday. So there's no excuse anymore, because we need to get back to, like you said, in person, get there, vote the right way, the way it should be.
Well, think of all the different things that you have to show an ID for.
Right.
Think of it. You need to show an ID to potentially either renew your license when it comes to opening a bank account. I mean, look at the laundry list of things you need to provide a driver's license.
Going to get a beer. Getting on an airplane.
Cigarettes.
Cigarettes. You know, like you said, opening a bank account, opening investment accounts, right? You know, it just to me is we've lost our purpose as a nation, and we've lost our values. It just feels like we've completely lost our founding fathers would be rolling in their graves right now.
Okay, think of how crazy this is. And I mentioned I had COVID a few weeks back. It was a bad flu for a few days and I felt fine. I had to go to the pharmacist to buy cough medicine for yours truly and my wife, who bought it over the counter. And I went through the drive-through at the pharmacist and they would not let me purchase it. They said I had to come into the store, and I thought, that's strange. Why do I have to go inside the store? I had to show my driver's license to buy cough medicine. But in this country, you don't need an ID to actually vote. So you know what? Vote in person. And if there's an extreme emergency where you know you cannot vote on that specific election day, well, then you have to vote in person in early voting. And then the only other one that we should just fight like hell to protect when it comes to sending in your ballot are those serving in the military.
That's right. And to be honest with you, it shouldn't be, like I said, let's use all those examples, military members, people that are just incapacitated at that time. That's not 40, 50% of your country. Maybe 5, 10%, right? We can't make an excuse for you to not get off the couch, right? That to me is what, we can't be talking about huge numbers of mail-in votes. And I don't care if COVID's around or not. Put your mask on, get outside, and go vote.
Again, you need a license to buy cough syrup in this country, to apply for food stamps, to apply for unemployment, but you don't need a license to vote. It's insane. You should be able to show and must show an ID to vote. You got to vote in person. If you can't get there on election day, then you should be voting in person for early voting. Yep. And then we need to protect our military members, that their votes are sacred and counted.
The good news is you don't need an ID to get baby formula. The bad news is there's no baby formula.
<can't find
laughs> That's the only thing. All righty, folks. Thanks again, Mike and Mihailu. We will be back next week. I don't even know who we got on the agenda for next week.
It's going to be good no matter what. We'll figure it out. Going to be here.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
That's right. We will figure it out throughout the week. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll see you soon.